Senate has the police come to order. Let the record show, Vice Chairman Sturgeon-Lewski. Senator DeVries, myself present. The first bill before us, the consideration for Representative Gruenberg will be House Bill 688, allowing tax credits for contributions to colleges and universities. Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I hope that you have copies of what's labeled possible draft. Do you have it? You don't have it.
I don't have it.
Okay. Here is one for you and one for you, Vice Chair Sturgeon-Lewski. Madam Chair, do you have a copy of the possible draft?
No.
Okay, here's possible draft. And I think that represents the points of disagreement. Oh, we need to get one more copy for. Do you have an extra copy of the possible draft?
I don't. I just have one.
Give it to Joe.
Here. Maybe I can just sort of.
Oh, go ahead. I'll watch.
No, here,
it.
And then I'll look off. Okay. The text, the type text, is the language that passed the House. There were a couple of floor amendments, but they were both defeated. And so the version that passed the House is CSHB 688 Finance. Now, these changes, these pen and ink changes, are the changes that the university would like to see. And we have just met Wendy Redman and Lou Ann Cutler and I about 5 minutes ago and resolved one of the points of disagreement. So that is something that would be acceptable to both sides, and Wendy, correct me if I'm wrong here, and that would be to eliminate Section 2 that says intent, because obviously the Finance Committee can do this anyway, take into consideration the money that's raised. And then as part of that compromise, if you look over on page 2, lines 5 through 8, the language would be, I'm sorry, I really want to say 6 and 7, excuse me. The language would, after the word section, there would be a comma inserted. And then it would read, and each public college and university shall report in its annual operating budget request on contributions received and how the contributions were used. That is part and parcel of the same compromise, just that little portion and eliminating Section 2. So that would be a change both sides would agree to here. With that in mind, let me explain to you what the purpose of this bill is. This is a bill that's designed to increase money coming into the state by encouraging contributions to the colleges and universities in the state, primarily the University of Alaska. I believe in this era of declining revenues, we've got to look at creative ways of raising money, and also particularly with respect to education. The University of Alaska has a very small percentage of endowments, and contributions by private sources. And this bill is designed to encourage that, to provide a positive incentive for people to give money to the universities and colleges, particularly the University of Alaska system. And what it does is by providing a series of tax credits. And it works like this, Madam Chair. And correct me, stop me if I'm not making sense, because it's not complicated, but I must walk you through the process. A person would give, let's say a corporation, oil company, right? This applies identically with various taxes. All the taxes are supposed to be in here. Corporate tax, oil and gas production tax, mining tax, fish tax, oil and gas property tax. Anyway, a corporation would give money, $1,000 to the university, up to a maximum of $10,000. And they would then get an actual credit against their state tax on only one form of tax. You can't double dip on this. It's carefully drafted to avoid that, of half of that, 50%. So it would wind up only costing, at that point in the calculations, $500. Of the $500 that it would cost the corporation, they would then write it off on their federal tax as a charitable contribution and get a deduction which would be worth another half of that, or $250. The result is that the state gets, through the university, $1,000 plus $500 in taxes. Instead of just the $500 in taxes, it's an additional 50% to the state. And the donor winds up only paying 25% of their contribution, and the federal government becomes an involuntary donor of the other 25% because of the lost federal revenue. And it's a good bill. About 24 people co-sponsored it into the House, and it passed. And what we had then was the bill, the type bill that's before you. With that in mind, let me go over the points of disagreement here to focus on those, and that's why we're before you here. I've already addressed Section 2. In Section 3, and by the way, there was a large fiscal note on this bill initially, because this would have meant less revenue for the general fund, even though it would be coming in the back door, so to speak.
And taking them from one and giving to another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
even I can understand. Yeah, you got that?
So what they did was they ratcheted it down in several respects in House Finance, and I didn't have a problem with that. The first thing they did was they said that the maximum amount of the tax due that could be credited under this program would be the lesser of 10% of your income tax, or your whatever tax it is, or $10,000, whichever is less. And once again, you can write off on a, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with the write-off. This is the actual tax credit. It's over and above the write-off. Okay, that's in there. But they also said, and I'm looking at page 1, line 20 and 21, and by the way, all of these sections are identical, basically, with one thing. You know, so we can just focus on the first one because it just puts the same language into each of these various taxing sections. It said that the money could only be reused for direct instructional and instructional support purposes. That was added in the Finance Committee. And they said also, if you look on the top of page 2, and I'm sorry, this is really from line 28, page 1, to page 2, line 3, that little subsection B, that number one, it may only be cash, and there's no problem about cash. And that's also in line 20. We don't want people giving oil drilling equipment and gems and artwork and stuff like that. This is strictly cash on the barrelhead we're talking about. That the under this section, the college of a public college or university may only spend the cash received for number one, direct instructional and instruction support purposes. Number two, must spend it within a year. And number three, may not put it into an endowment. Now, these all go together. What an endowment is a trust fund. And basically the money goes into an endowment and the money stays there. And the only money that's actually used is the income that's generated. But the person would get a tax credit against money that couldn't be used by anybody. And the Finance Committee, in my opinion, reasonably said no endowments because that's money that doesn't go to anybody. The only exception is with respect to the estate tax. And the reason that's an exception is because when you're dying, you want to put the money into something. It's a one-shot only deal. It's not done as a tax kind of thing, but it's usually done out of a genuine charitable purpose. So there's no prohibition in the estate tax section against an endowment. But in each of the others, you can't use it for an endowment. To me, that's reasonable. The other two points, number one, direct instructional and instruction support purposes, is very narrow. That means like teaching salaries, books, supplies, this sort of thing. But
how about library equipment,
No.
acquisitions?
I do not believe, and Wendy can correct me, that's a very definite term of art. I don't think some of those things, I think books would be, but museum equipment, now if you're talking about lab equipment that they're using for instructional purposes, that would be okay. But if you're talking about for research purposes or something like that, that's out.
I'm not talking about research purposes, I'm talking about acquisitions of materials that still should remain within the state, within the museum, for the use and enjoyment of all the people of the state, like the University Museum.
No. Unless it was directly and you
could be purchased with it.
Museum or library acquisitions could not be purchased under
Why?
This language because those are not direct instructional or instructional support items.
Well, perhaps during this hearing somebody could explain that to me.
Okay.
Because if I were a wealthy person, one of the things that I would be most interested in would be acquiring some of the things that we're going to lose forever if we're not able to purchase them or to get them. Something wrong with my thinking that either Luann or Wendy.
No, you understand precisely. It's a simple. The instructional or instruction support is even narrower than that, Madam Chair, because it doesn't permit the money to be used for other operating expenses, like to pay your fuel or to pay the. within 1 year. I have some problems. Going.